And we are going to talk all about spring. I don't want you to look outside right now. No one look outside. We're going to pretend it's spring.
I think, Jeff, that talking about spring, we will manifest it. Like, it's going to happen.
I like it. The snow will stop. It'll come out, and it'll be 60 degrees. I like right. I like your positivity.
Yeah, I think it's all we can do right now.
I know, unfortunately. But you know what? The weather will turn around. We just had Jennifer on from WeatherEye, and she was talking about the fact that, you know, mid-50s, middle of next week, maybe some upper 50s around 60s by a week and a half or so. So we do know the weather's going to warm up. We do know this is a very temporary thing. It's very irritating. It's very troublesome. I was out earlier. You missed it. I spiraled into a one-man uncontrolled fit of rage outside. And now I'm back feeling much better. But things will warm up, and we will get, I'm just kidding, I really didn't do that. Things will get better, and it's time to talk spring, and it's time to talk spring toxins for your cats and dogs. Very, very important today.
Yes, yes. So, again, positive thoughts, thinking spring,
right.
Spring will come.
Right.
So, along those lines, let's talk about gardening, because we're all itching to get our hands in the dirt, right? And, you know, isn't the saying you have to have your potatoes in the ground by Good Friday? So, you know, that's going to be here before we know it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think my potatoes will be in the ground, but
you'll just have to move the snow. Yeah. You'll just have to move the snow around and then put the potatoes in the ground.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But perhaps maybe not so much vegetable gardening, but when we think, well, actually, all right, let's back up. So, yes, with the vegetable garden, our garlic, onions, chives, leeks, we want to be careful with those because those plants can cause problems if our pet should ingest them. It actually destroys their red blood cells, and so they can become really anemic, very weak. It can be fatal, depending on if they consume enough. Unfortunately, it can be a fatal condition where they just run out of blood, essentially. So
Wow. Do
be careful. With there are some things in the vegetable garden that we need to worry about. But thinking more spring, we're thinking more like, ooh, tulips and daffodils and things like that. So with our tulips, hyacinths, daffodils, the plant and flowers themselves are pretty benign. We don't have to worry much about them. But at this point in time, we pretty much just have the bulbs in the ground. And so if you've got a dog that's a digger or someone, you know, one of them that likes to really sort of help you, quote unquote, you know, as you're prepping for spring, you know, cleaning up the flower beds and things like that, you don't want them digging up and eating those bulbs. Those bulbs do contain an alkaloid toxin. And so we can see profuse drooling, vomiting, diarrhea with large ingestions. We can actually see an increase in heart rate, respiratory problems. So also a problem with cattle. So if your yard cow, you know, is getting into your flower beds, be careful for them as well. So caution. So watch out for the bulbs. And then, of course, this is the month of Easter, and so we're buying the chocolate bunnies and all the candies and goodies, or maybe we think, ooh, we're going to be healthy and try to do some sugar-free treats. Well, as we all know, careful with that chocolate. Like, don't let the pet get it. And like I say, I always think that's the most sad toxin call I get because not only now has the pet potentially made themselves ill, but the person doesn't get their chocolate.
Right.
And it's just a double-edged sword.
That's a double whammy right there.
It is. Yeah. It is. It really is. It's a travesty. So be careful with the chocolate. Some of those sugar-free, especially if you're going to go kind of the different route and do, you know, gum, like those icebreakers or something. Uh-huh. Sugar-free things, again, be cautious of the xylitol, and that starts with an X. So if you're reading the ingredient labels, really, really, really be careful, because if a dog consumes that, their body doesn't recognize that it's not real sugar. It will release a bunch of insulin. Their blood sugar will crash. They can go comatose, and it can also cause liver damage as well. So, again, careful. Watch out with the sugar-free stuff. Watch out for that xylitol specifically. And then, of course, we want to, again, we're thinking spring, so we're going to buy an Easter lily or bring plants, you know, go to the flower shop and get some plants and things. If you have kitties, I would have to say be very, very careful, or really just don't bring lilies into your house. They're beautiful. you can enjoy them other ways, because lilies are really, really toxic to cats. And it's whether they lick some pollen off their fur, they chomp on the leaves, they drink water from the vase, they are very, very sensitive to lilies. And so it will cause kidney failure, and it doesn't take much for them to ingest. So again, no lilies if you have kitties. But, you know, rest assured, you think, oh, well, gosh, what can I do? So avoid the true lilies, because those are the ones that can be fatal. So the tiger lilies, day lilies, Easter, Japanese show lilies, the Asiatic lilies, those are the ones we want to avoid. Now, if you have a peace lily or a Peruvian or a calla lily, those are sort of false lilies, so to speak. I think the Peruvian ones are sometimes also called like alstroemeria, and they're common in floral arrangements. So they look like a lily, but they're not truly part of that lily family. So again, there are safe options. But otherwise, leave the Easter lilies for at, you know, someone else's house or at church and enjoy them there. Don't bring them into your home if you have kitties in your house, because it's just, it's very, very risky.
So many great points that you've made, but I want to circle back to the garlic and the onions, because, you know, so many things obviously are made with garlic and onions. Sometimes you're giving them to pets and you just don't even realize it, that you even put them in there. So, I mean, right? you could be thinking, oh, I'm not giving the dog anything bad. It's just meat, but it could be flavored with garlic and onions and you just don't kind of realize it, because you put garlic and onions in everything. I do anyway, you know?
Yes, I agree. And it's been many years, but I had an unfortunate case where, you know, I think it was kind of like a stew left over. And so they'd eaten, you know, the meat and the potatoes and the carrots and things, but they had sort of the liquid left that they thought, oh, well, we're just going to dump this outside. It'll be great. Well, right, if you think about the number of onions and, like you said, garlic cloves and things that were in there. And unfortunately, that dog did not do well. So, right, that's a good point. It's not just, oh, well, I'm not feeding my dog garlic. You know, who does that? Well, but what table food might they get into that would have those compounds in them? Yep, absolutely, Jeff.
Lots of garlic. I mean, garlic. I mean, come on, garlic and onions. That's a flavoring staple.
Right.
That's like putting. Right. That's like saying. Yeah, it's like putting, you know, salt or pepper on stuff. It's just it's a staple. So people got to be careful. What about as we get into spring? You mentioned gardening. Let's dive deeper into the fertilizer, herbicides, and pesticides. What about those things? I mean, we got all those things. Eventually, we will see grass again, and it will be green. It'll happen. I know it will. Not soon, but it will happen. What about those things and the toxics that goes with pets?
Right. So, in general, fertilizers kind of as a whole are not very toxic. They certainly can cause some minor GI irritation, you know, maybe some drooling or a little diarrhea. In general, they're actually fairly safe. And if it's a liquid fertilizer that you're applying once, and usually the label always says, you know, you have to keep pets and children off it for so many hours. Once it has dried, it's really difficult for a pet to then, you know, like consume enough of the lawn or lick enough off their paws to actually cause a problem. So fertilizers generally are fairly non-toxic, but if you're using something that has a lot of blood meal in it, that is really, really rich. And so we can see pancreatitis, really profound diarrhea. That can cause, you know, much more serious GI upset. Now, right, okay, we don't want slugs and snails and things like that, or we're using some pesticides or insecticides. Those we got to be careful with, because if they have an organophosphate in them, those, I say, are very common in insecticides. Those can be very toxic to dogs and cats, and cats specifically. We think about, okay, well, insecticides, well, but we want to prevent fleas and ticks, so aren't we also giving them insecticides? Yes, in a sense, but if you're just, you know, going to the feed store and you're buying something over the counter for your cat, really, really be careful, because you'll see on many of those products, do not apply to cats. Kitties are much more sensitive to a lot of the perethrins and things, and we can see neurological problems like seizures and even death. So when we get organophosphates, or, you know, once they, right, we get field work going and they're spraying and things like that, you do have to be careful. And things that you'll notice with the organophosphates or some of these insecticides, we call it sludge, and it stands for salivation, so drooling, lacrimation, so lots of tear production, urination, peeing obviously, and defecation, so lots of pooping, like all the liquids from all the orifices can happen, yes. And certainly we can see tremors and seizures, hyperthermia, things as well. So yes, you do have to be careful when it comes to insecticides and pesticides. Like say, fertilizers, depending on the type. The other thing you want to be careful is if for some reason your fertilizer, you know, you opened a bag last fall and now you're cleaning out the garage and it's moldy, or, you know, you find the food in the back of the fridge that you're like, oops, and then the dog gets into the garbage. Mold, not necessarily that it's the fertilizer, you know, or the food itself, but mold can contain a mycogenic toxin, which basically means it can cause seizures. So, again, be careful with mold. And, I mean, right, so what, we had ice out here a couple weeks ago on Big Stone?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, well, all right, so then that means, hey, it's time to open up the cabin, right?
Right.
Right, or the camper or whatnot. So chances are you probably put some mouse poison out last fall when you were winterizing everything. So, again, as we're spring cleaning and we're getting things ready and, you know, we've got lake fever and we want to get out there, we want to make sure that, okay, that we pick that up. We've cleaned it out. It's in a container that our pets absolutely can't get to, or in a place they absolutely can't get. And remember, like, they're creative. So don't, you know, don't give them the best of the doubt. They'll find a way. So it's a best, like say, just make sure you get all of that removed. And remember, with our mouse poisons, there's the anticoagulants, or the ones that, you know, sort of cause the bleeding. That's what we think about all the time. But there's also cholecalciferol, or vitamin D3, which will affect the kidneys and can lead to kidney damage, and there's no antidote. There's also bromethalin, which causes brain swelling and seizures, and there's no antidote. So, again, it's one of those things where, ooh, it's probably just not worth the risk. So, like I say, when you're spring cleaning and opening things up, just go ahead and safely, securely dispose of that rodenticide, because it can be very, very, very serious. And it's difficult to know. A lot of times, you know, oh, it's the green pellets, or oh, it's the red block. Well, they all look the same. That alone isn't going to tell me, oh, it's this type of, you know, rat poison versus that type. So as far as like treatment and things, that knowing actually what the active ingredient is very helpful. But like I say, just not being in that situation is even better.
Yeah, and you know, too, with spring cleaning, everybody out there wanting to get it clean, you got folks getting ready for garage sales, cleaning out. Out with the old, in with the new, one of those things, sort of things. So cleaning supplies, are there any of those in particular, as we go into that a little bit more, anything that pets seem to gravitate to or you should keep out of their reach?
Sure. Well, okay, so right, you're cleaning the garage, maybe you're moving the four-wheeler or whatnot out and things like that. Antifreeze, I know it's not a cleaner specifically, but antifreeze is very toxic to dogs and cats. Again, it will cause kidney damage, and especially in kitties, it can be in as short a time period as like 4 to 6 hours after ingestion. So it can be very, very lethal. And with many of our cleaners, unfortunately, when we think about, oh, my pet ate something, oh, I need to, you know, decontaminate them, they need to throw it up. With cleaners, because so many of them tend to be rather caustic, we actually don't want them to throw it up, because it's going to burn going down and burn coming back up as far as, you know, tissue irritation and damage. And so we got to be really careful, you know, as far as should we induce vomiting or not, or is it something that we need to treat symptomatically? But yes, right, with the cleaners, for the most part, they're all concerning. And some, to, you know, depending on how well you're diluting it, you know, whether it be your bleach or your Comet scrub, things like that, we can see just oral irritation where, ooh, they're drooling, you know, the tongue gets a little swollen or the gums are irritated. But like I say, we can actually see sort of chemical burns internally as well.
Yeah, and the thing about dogs and cats, they're so fast at doing things. Mm-hmm. They get them and it's amazing how fast they can get it and swallow it. It's just, they're lightning quick, and sometimes if you think, oh, I'll get to them in time, you really can't.
Right, right. We've all had those instances where they grab something, and maybe it's a toy or a sock or something else from the table. They go, oh, and we're done. Nope, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. Down the hatch.
And they swallow things whole, too.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know about so much cats. I'm not a cat person, but dogs, it's amazing how fast the little dog can get a kernel of food on that fell on the floor. It's like if there was like an Olympics, he would be a gold medalist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing
right.
how fast they can get to him. So if you think you can, oh, we'll get to him in time. No, you really can't. I mean, they're just so fast going after that food or what they perceive as food.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah. And so, right, many of our cleaners and even, you know, laundry detergent, there was the whole, you know, like the pod thing with people.
Right.
And, you know, gosh, we should certainly know better than that. But, I mean, right, it's not good for us. It's not good for them. So, yes, like, say, bleaches, ammonia, even things you think like, oh, well, I'm going to clean, you know, with more natural things. And essential oils can be great as cleaners and diffusers and things like that, but we definitely want to make sure, okay, well, is it diluted? And again, our pets, especially cats, tend to be more sensitive to them, so sometimes even if you're using it as a diffuser in your home, it is possible that it can cause, like, eye irritation, nasal cavity kind of irritation, things like that. So again, even though you think, oh, but it's natural, as long as it's diluted appropriately, you're probably going to be fine. But if you've got, you know, just a little bottle of the full strength stuff sitting around and it tips over or they're faster than you think they are going to be, even that can be problematic.
Definitely. For this and a whole bunch more, how can folks get a hold of you? They can call, visit the website, lots of different ways to keep their pet healthy.
Yes, yes. Give us a call at 432-9501. You can also text us at that number as well. Check us out online and follow our Facebook page. For April, the fleas and ticks, they're coming. We actually had ticks on a dog, I believe it was last week or maybe it was the week before, but we have seen them. They are out. They might be taking a little bit of a break here just at the moment, but they'll be back. So purchasing a box of Simparica during April will get your name in for a drawing for a free box.
I heard the robins chirping early this morning, probably trying to figure out what in the world happened. Their clocks were off. I wonder if they're in bird language, they're talking to each other. Maybe we came back too soon.
Right. But now, has this been like enough snow on the robin's back where we're good? Is this the last one? Somebody told me that yesterday, so I'm going with it.
I blame everybody who said we need moisture. I blame them.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I don't blame them, as far as you know. Yeah, absolutely. We thank you so much, as always, keeping our pets safe and healthy. Thank you so much, and I got a good feeling that the weather will be better the next time we talk.
Yes, it has to be.
We'll see you next month.